Eric Stevens joins us. Eric, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How's it going today?
Well, it's good. The Brinks man cometh for Ryan Kesler today. Your thoughts on the contract extension?
Well, it's big. He's going to be a rich man, very much so into the future here. I thought that he was going to get a raise from the previous deal that he still has one more year on, the one where he's $5 million annual. I thought he would get a raise in his next contract. I think that if anything, maybe the more surprising thing is maybe the term of it. Obviously, being that he's going to be 31 on August 31st, by the end of it, he's going to be 37. And, certainly there's going to be, a lot of risk that comes with it in terms of, how, viable a player he's going to be then as he is right now.
Yeah, Eric, that's the thing that jumps out at me. I mean, I've liked Kesler as a player for a long time, but he's 31 years old. A lot of forwards have their most productive prime year sort of 22 to 28. He's already through that window. 5 years for a load of dough, sure. Maybe four, but six?
Yeah, no, for sure, Robin. I think that's probably what most people are saying right now. And to maybe understand what some of the Ducks' thinking here is, the front part of that is obviously the main part of this deal. It's the major part of it. They're in a win-now mode. This is their championship window, and how long that window stays open, you can argue, whether it's 1 year, whether it's two, whether it's three, whatsoever. But they are in win-now mode right now, and you've got to be thinking that, I guess if you're Bob Murray, if you win a cup within these next 1 or 2 years or so and get the Ryan Kesler that you've gotten over the past decade, over the first half of this deal, you'll feel that would have been worth it.
Kesler, Perry, Getzlaff, all from that very good 2003 draft class. They're all the exact same age. And, you talk about that window of opportunity, definitely with those three. Lindholm, everybody's high on him on the back end. They've got three really good young defensemen, two young goaltenders that they're going to have to make a decision on one of them, I would think, sometime in the near future. But, the Ducks were very good this year. They just locked to the eventual Stanley Cup champions. Do they need to, obviously they want to improve. What small area do you think they need to improve on if they are going to get past a Chicago team, which obviously won't be the same team next year?
That's really a good question, because I think the way that they lost Game 7 and really the Game 6 and whatsoever, and sort of the continuing story, even though they've advanced, one round each year, certainly – it sort of overshadows the fact that, this is a good team. I mean, this is a legitimate cup contender, but the way that they lost, certainly it takes a lot away from that. I don't know if there's, too much more that they need to, say, improve. I think, they can always get tighter, certainly on the defensive end, and I think that, just the maturation of players like Lindholm, like Vatanen, Fowler, I think, took a step in the playoffs forward, this year, Simone Dupre, I think they're counting on the continual maturation of that group there, and adding obviously Kevin Pieksa, to that mix, maybe they can sort of get, even tighter there and maybe even tighter in net, between Anderson and Gibson. But, I think it's just really, it just comes down to, in a nutshell with them, their ability to bring their, bring their best and show their best when it's absolutely needed. And, obviously in Game 7, that's the time when it's absolutely needed. I think that's really what it comes down to with the Ducks, because they've proven it over the 82-game haul. They've sort of proven it, more or less, as you go through the playoffs here, but they've got to take that final step.
Eric, it's interesting. You mentioned Chicago, and I was thinking of them in this context. They've had to reload a couple of times based on money. You know, can they get Seabrook done now? Now, nobody in Anaheim is getting that Kane and Taves money, but down the road, let's go 2-3 years, you're going to have three guys, 30-plus, making an awful lot of money. How do you restock the shelves when that's the case? And has anybody asked about that down there?
No, no, that's a legitimate question. And yeah, I mean, over the next 5-6 years or so, that's, just about 1/3 of your, at least available cap space or so tied up in three guys who are, on the other side of, entering the other side of 30, if not already there. So yeah, that's a legitimate concern. You know, I think one, the real question going forward is, okay, how many of these, say, younger guys are they going to be able to lock up? And, what decisions, what hard decisions that they're going to maybe have to make, in terms of, maybe not signing, one of them, whether you decide on one of the two goalies or, whether, out of that mix on the back end there, what do you do with, Fowler, who's up in 2 years, or say Vatanen, who's going to be an RFA, next summer, or Dupre, who's also an RFA next summer. I think Lindholm has proven, that he's going to be, part of that long-term mix there, and they're going to have to give him some good money as well. But they're going to have some hard decisions, coming forward. But I think in some ways, at least Bob Murray has sort of prepared for this, or prepared for that scenario by being able to at least manage the cap as he's been able to do, at least up until today.
Eric Stevens joins us from Anaheim. You've seen Kessler up close, and people look at his offensive numbers, and I think he's kind of at the on the downside when you look at as far as offensive production goes. But the matchups and just maybe the intangibles that sometimes are hard to track. Did he add that much to the Ducks this year in your mind? And do you think the way he plays, he'll be able to do it for at least 3 more years?
Well, the first part of that question is I think that he did. Because, when they really went after him and finally, got the trade done, for him with the Vancouver, they weren't looking, or they weren't counting on Ryan Kessler to score 30 goals or have 60 points or even 25 and 50. I mean, I think they would take that, obviously, but they weren't counting on that. I mean, it's those intangibles that you mentioned. Being a hard guy to play against up and down the ice, over every inch of it, being a guy who's going to win, more often than not in the faceoff circle, particularly at the end of games when you need to protect a one goal lead. That's the Ryan Kessler really that they wanted from the outset. So, I think initially, I think he can still do those things. Going as you go into 32, 33, 34 years of age or so, it's not a thing of where it's not a scenario where he's, say maybe just a pure 30 goal scorer who doesn't do those things and who you really fear is going to really drop off as a player if he doesn't produce. Ryan Kessler, maybe he's not the 25 goal guy maybe that he used to be, but he'll still be able to do those other things. That a cup contender needs on their team in order to win.
Eric, quickly, who is the best fit? Is Maroon the guy long-term for Getzlaff and Perry next season?
Long-term, I don't think you can answer that right now. I think when you're dealing with Bruce Boudreau as a coach, you don't really think too much in the long-term in terms of pairings, particularly on that top line there. I think he played the best with them over this past year. But, I think they're also always seeking someone who could at least consistently finish better than, say, Pat Maroon has. But, he's turned himself into, a pretty good player, for a late bloomer. And, he'll see time with them again this year. But, as far as the long term or so, I think they're always starting, you know, always trying to look for someone who maybe can consistently finish better.
Always good to talk to you, Eric. Have some downtime, hopefully, this offseason. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys. Thanks a lot, as always. Appreciate it.